And I say again, why would churches stop singing those songs? Amen? Why? Why would we throw the richness of theology out the window just to be cool? Just to be cool. Let me tell you what, there's nothing more relevant. And that's the thing, that's what you'll hear all these churches say, we're trying to be relevant. There's nothing more relevant than surrendering all to the cross of Jesus Christ, because in that we have true victory. Amen? Amen. Dads, I'm sorry I didn't do your drawing. We'll do it at the end. We have good things that we'll talk about later, if I remember. If not, I'll keep them for myself. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, that's where we were last week. We talked about the traits of an overcomer. How many of you understand we don't overcome in our own strength? We overcome only in the cross of Jesus Christ and the victory that we have found there. Amen? Here's the thing. We're going to talk today, what are we victorious over? We saw last week the traits of an overcomer. This week we're going to see the triumphs of an overcomer. The triumphs of an overcomer. And next week we're going to close out with the trophies of the overcomer. Did you know that there are being right now, those of you who are children of God, there are being stored up for you trophies and rewards in heaven. We're going to talk about some of those next week and how exciting that's going to be to take those things and to lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ, because without Him we're nothing. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, we looked at this last week. We're going to look at two verses that we did look at last week. We're going to look at them again. And what we're going to do is we're going to then go throughout Scripture and we're going to talk about the triumphs of an overcomer. The things that we have been given or will be given victory over. The things that we have been given victory over and the things that we will be given victory over. Because some things we have not yet attained, have we? Amen? Anybody here perfect, whole, and complete? No, your gray hair tells the story. You're dwindling. You have on a corruptible body, but one day, as the Apostle Paul said, you will put on incorruption, because you will be glorified and you will be in your finished, redeemed state for all eternity. I look forward to that day. How many of you are with me? So as we talk about these things, understand, some of these things are for the here and now, some of these things are for later, and some of these things are for eternity. But all of these things come only through faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. So what I can't do today is I can't give you the formula on how to be an overcomer. The formula on how to be an overcomer, if you're already a child of God, lives inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so He's conforming you into what Christ Jesus died for you to be, the image of God's only begotten Son. So as we look at this, I want us to see those things. I want us to examine those things that we have victory. And what I want you to do is, maybe some of you, you're not walking in the victory that you have right now. I want you to leave here walking in that victory today. I want you to leave here victorious over whatever it is that's holding you back, that you're not walking in victory and that Jesus already paid for you to have. And then some of you, maybe you are walking in that victory. What I want you to do is continue to walk in that victory. When the enemy attacks you, when the trials of this life attack you, continue to walk in the victory that you have in Christ. And then for some of you, I want you to look forward to the inevitable victory that we will have in Christ for all eternity. One day it's going to happen. There will be that day. Can we just stop for a second and get excited? When that trumpet call is sounded, God takes us home. Yeah, used to the church would get excited about those things. Because used to preachers used to point to the cross as our redemption and as our sanctification, and then one day as our glorification, when He brings us to be with Him and to forever change us in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, just as the Scripture says. I long for that day. I long for that day somewhere between here and yonder when I am changed completely in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. That's bam. All of a sudden, I am who Jesus Christ died for me to be, whole and complete. End of discussion. An overcomer through the one who overcame the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this today, I pray that you would learn something, and I pray that you would grow. And I pray for those of you who are here today who don't have the hope of any kind of victory because you do not know Jesus Christ. I pray today that He would open your eyes to the truth and that you would surrender your life to Him as He calls you out of darkness and into light. That you would receive His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness, the cleansing that comes through His blood sacrifice that He made on a cross outside of Jerusalem for you 2,000 years ago. Do I sound like a broken record? I hope so. I hope so. Because I got but one message to preach, and it's Christ and Him crucified. So as we look at this, an overcomer has and will triumph over some things. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5 says this. It says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Somebody shout, please. Because here's the thing. We struggle in this world, don't we? How many of you feel the pull, your old nature trying to pull you? We struggle. It doesn't give us an excuse to give up and to sin. It's not in us. We're not of those who shrink back. We're those who are called to persevere in Christ. We're not of those who slide back into the lifestyle that Jesus Christ redeemed us from. We are those who press on toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. It says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world?" Watch this. "Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Period. End of discussion. So as we look at this, let me say to you, those of you who are here and you don't have a whole lot of victory and hope in your life right now, the only way you will have is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Some of you know Him. I want to talk to you about the triumph of an overcomer. What have we gained through faith in Jesus Christ? We know lots of things, but particularly we're going to focus on the triumphs. Number one, because we have overcome through Jesus Christ, we know this. An overcomer has and will triumph over, number one, the worries of this life. The world. The worries of this life. How many of you long for the day where you don't have to worry about a single thing anymore? You don't have to worry about a CAT scan, a PET scan, an MRI, the bills coming due, the struggle that you have with the temptation that you have. You don't have to worry about your past mistakes that other people are still holding to your charge and not forgiving you about. You don't have to worry about a single thing one day. Because Jesus Christ has called us to be overcomers of the worries of this life. Look at John chapter 16. John, the same one who penned 1 John that we're looking at, penned the Gospel of John. Flip back a few books in your Bible, you'll get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. He says this in chapter 16, and I'm not going to, but I really want to, and I might. I can't promise you. I would love to read all of this in 16, but I want to focus on a particular part, which may cause me to focus on the rest of it. You never know about me. Jesus is telling His disciples that they're going to go through a time of grief. He promises them that He's going to change their grief into joy. There's going to be trials and there's going to be suffering. He tells them that they're going to be scattered. And life as they know it's never going to be the same. That's not the popular gospel message that you hear preached from these mega churches in this country. But He tells His followers, things are going to be different. Life is about to be shaken for you. Nothing's ever going to be the same. He's already hinted around. Some of them are going to die for their faith. And He says this in verse 33 of chapter 16. "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." In this world, you will have, y'all underline that for me, so our charismatic friends will be set free from false doctrine this morning. In this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say, in this world, you'll have your best life now. That contradicts what Jesus just said. Jesus said, take heart. I'm leaving you with peace. In this world is going to be a lot of trouble. Trials, temptations, worries, struggles, financial burdens, health issues. All the things that we know to be true. Lost loved one. Pain. Agony. Betrayal. Do you think Jesus didn't know about all those things? You think He wasn't a sympathizer about those things? Did you know that He went through all of those things for you and for me? And here's the thing. I want you to see what He's saying, because people are selling the church a lie.
that if you just follow Jesus, everything's going to be okay on your journey toward heaven. Hallelujah.
That's not true. Because if it's true, it contradicts what the Lord Himself spoke right here. He's telling those men, listen, the faithful few. Did you know many had already deserted Him? And He's telling that faithful small group who stuck it out and who persevered, they're called the ones who were called. The true believers. And He says this to the true believer. He doesn't say, you just name it and claim it and everything's going to be okay. Or if you're nice to people, people will be nice to you. Nowhere will you find that in Scripture, period. If you're nice to people, people are still going to accuse you of being something that you're not when you're living for Christ. And they're going to persecute you. And they're going to make fun of you. And you're going to be the butt end of every single joke that the world tells. And it's not fun. Did you know Jesus didn't say, in this life you'll have fun. Driving Mercedes. Living a $2 million home. And be rich. And have a worldwide ministry. Everybody wants to have a worldwide ministry. Well, then make disciples right here where we live and God will lead them out into the world. You miss the first part. So the thing is, Jesus Himself, I want you to go back there with me and I want to break this down. And if I'm missing this, y'all holler at me and say, preacher, you're missing it. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In me, you may have peace. Isn't peace the victory that we have over the worries of this world? He says, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. You know what that means? Some of you have King James. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. You know what? I can be encouraged by reading this. Why? It's a promise from Jesus Christ to His followers. Listen, things are going to be tough. People get shocked. People act as if they have a right to be angry with God because something bad happens. No, you don't. I say this to you, child of God, pick up your weary head and look to the cross of Jesus Christ and find your strength there and quit belly aching about this world. You are only passing through. Oh, I would to the Lord in heaven that preachers would preach that old message again. That this is not my home. Some of us are putting down stakes like we're going to be here forever. Jesus said, in this life there'll be all kinds of troubles. But take heart. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. You know what that tells us who are followers of Christ? Watch this. Number one, I've overcome the trials that you're going to face. Did you know I don't have to fret when I face a trial? My wife used to think I was supposed to, and it bothered her that I didn't. Look, she's shaking her head like this. Y'all know if she's agreeing, she'll be doing this. If she's not, she'll be like, I'll kill you. But the thing is, listen, she knows. She's lived there. She's seen what it's like to learn to walk in faith in the promises of God, that I have overcome the trials of this life, not because I figured anything out, but because Jesus Christ died on a cross for me 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem, and He has overcome every single trial that I will face in this life. And here's the thing. I can forfeit that and walk in my flesh. I can raise my hands to heaven, sweaty armpits and all, and praise Him for what He's already promised before I ever see it happen, and just wait till it happens because He said it's going to happen. You're going to overcome these trials. Any of you ever been in a trial that lasted forever? No! You never have. He's promised you victory over your trials. Here's the thing. Even if your trial lasts this lifetime, Maybe you have some type of deficiency, some type of handicap that you just can't and won't overcome in this world. And I know what the charismatics tell you. It's because you have a lack of faith. You have a lack of faith and you just won't let God heal you. There's nothing more that you would want than God would heal you and you would step out of that wheelchair. You can't want it anymore. But it's just not God's will, so that when you step into eternity, and I did say step, Mr. or Mrs. Wheelchair Person, when you step into eternity in your final state for the first time and you walk, there will be a victory shout in heaven because He's made you whole and complete. Your trials will not last forever. So here's the thing. Encourage each other with that. Oh, it's just temporary. I know you're broke like a joke. You're going to have to eat rice and beans. And on the next night, you're going to have to eat beans and rice. Right? And on a good week, you can put a little hamburger meat in there with your beans and rice. Or get some noodles, tomato sauce, make some goulash. You know you're poor if you eat goulash. Right? What is goulash? We don't know. It's what poor people eat. We just throw stuff together. The richer poor people have corn in their goulash. Right? So you think about that, you're like, I used to go to my friend's house, and they had more money than me. I lived in a single wide. They had double wide. So I'd go over their house. When they had goulash, there was corn in it. And it always was a mystery to me. Why are you going to put corn in something that kind of looks like spaghetti? But corn was a filler, and we did what we had to do, didn't we? Here's the thing. We all made it. Why? Because He's faithful. Those trials were temporary. How many of you, when you were first married, you struggled financially in your marriage? Or just struggled in marriage in general? How many of you would put a cost on what you learned? Can't. You can't put a price on what you learned in trusting God through all that adversity. The trials. Jesus says you don't have to worry about the trial. How about the temptation? I know this is hard for you to understand, but one day you won't be tempted with sin ever again because of Jesus Christ. That's a good thing, isn't it? But wait, all you people who are new today, we don't come here acting like we're already glorified. You're tempted by your flesh. You're tempted to sin. You are a preacher? Yes. And I have to make sure that I'm walking in the Spirit because I will sin just like the next guy. And I long for the day. I long for the day when there's not that struggle with this guy. I don't have to 2,227,000 times a day crucify Kirk Hall. But I can walk in the new me who I don't even know my new name yet, but I promise you I'm going to have one. I get to walk in a new me that my only concern is this, my true heart, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, His kingdom come, His will be done. I long for that day when the temptations of this life are over. And I would ask this, that you not look at me all pious like some of you are. Because you're struggling with the temptation of being self-righteous when you look at me and say, I cannot believe you were tempted, Pastor. No, let's be honest about it. The only victory that I have over temptation is found in Christ Jesus. The worries of this life, the trials, the temptation, the toils. How many of you are excited about going to work tomorrow? Huh? You just can't wait. Right? You're going to set your alarm just an hour earlier tomorrow because you're so excited. Oh, Tools, did you know this? Did you know why we work? Many people forget this. You're not supposed to like work. Okay? The only person that I've ever known that liked work, they were just pretending. The thing is, you're not supposed to like work. Everybody's like, I just want to find some work that I enjoy. No! Did you know the toils of this earth is because man chose sin over God? Go like this. Go all the way back to the garden. You can read it. And here's the thing. You're griping about working in an air-conditioned office when only the last few hundred years we had that luxury. Everybody else used to go out into the field and really toil like Scripture said they were going to do. You guys are living the air-conditioned American dream. Here's the thing, and you still hate it. How many of you will be glad one day when all our work is over and we can rest in Christ forever? Jesus Christ has given you victory over the toils, victory over the temptation, victory over the trial. An overcomer has triumphed over the worries of this life through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not holding on to faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, all three of those things, the trials, the temptations, and the toils, will bring you down. How many of you know the enemy uses those things to try to bring us down all the time? Here's the thing. Walk in the victory that you have in Christ and know I already have victory over those three things. So when a trial hits, here's what a believer who's walking in the Spirit says. A trial hits, okay, it's just like the last trial. God saw me through the last trial, and He'll see me through this trial. And you go like this. Man, this is a pretty big trial, but I have a really big God. And He's going to bring me through this, just like He always has. And on the other side, I'm going to be able to praise Him for it. All you people who said when I was young and married, we had financial troubles, but now we've been married over 20 years, and we have learned to trust God in our marriage, in our finance, in the trials of this life. How many of you have gotten that lesson yet? Just two of you? Well, good. Then y'all needed this message. The worries of this life. An overcomer has and will triumph over the worries of this life. Number two. This is good news. Pay attention. The sin of our flesh. Sin of our flesh. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. As we see that we only overcome these things through the one who's overcome the world, as we just looked at in First John, chapter 5. But as we flip over to Colossians, I want you to understand something. We in Christ have victory over the sin of our flesh. Understand what I'm talking about when I say sin. How many of you understand, and I hope you do at this point, how many of you understand sin as a principle, not just as an action or a verb? I want you to understand that, because here's the thing. You have a victory over the disease that you're plagued with in Christ, and the symptoms, once the disease has been vaccinated, once that has been applied, the blood of Jesus Christ, once that happens, your symptoms will start to clear up. Won't they, born-again believer? And so I want you to hold on to this victory, this triumph that we have, the sin of our flesh, or over the sin of our flesh. Colossians 2 tells us this, verse 13. When you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, see both of them there? You're dead in your action, and when you were dead in your nature, God made you alive with Christ. When you were dead. Not when you started coming to church and got your life on the right track. When you were dead. He forgave us all our sins. He goes on and he says, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Watch this. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by, say it with me, the cross. Don't ever forget, we have overcome the sin of our flesh only through the cross. So turn to Romans chapter 7 as we talk about this a little more. Romans chapter 7, just back up a few books. Verse 14 of 7. This is the Apostle Paul, in case you didn't know it. I want you to see that so that you understand who this is coming from. Watch what he's about to say. Chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. He's talking about in and of himself. He's not talking about Christ in him. He says, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Are you with him so far? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. That's always going to be the result of your flesh. Did you know that? He's talking about his flesh. He's saying, in my flesh, I do not do what I know to do, but I do the things that I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin, the principle, living in me. He said the law is good because the law reveals to me that there is a deeper, darker principle in me called flesh, called sin. He said, I know that nothing good lives in me. That's for all the people who want to tell you that you're beautiful and you're smart and you're great and you're amazing and awesome. There's nothing good about you. For there's none righteous, no, not one. Why do we not stand on the Word of God? There's nothing good in our flesh. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. That's what I just told you, isn't it? For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Let me say this. This is not, as according to some of our contemporaries, Paul before he was redeemed, struggling. There's no indication of that at all. He's writing to the church and he's being transparent. It's an art that many preachers and pastors have forgotten. He says, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Here's what he's not saying. It does not give you an excuse. He's the same one who said, shall I sin so that grace may abound? What he's saying, I have discovered my disease. My disease is my sinful flesh who does the evil that opposes the Word and the law of God. It does the evil and it doesn't have to be trained to do that. It does it by nature. He goes on in 21, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Hello? When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. Why? You carry your flesh around everywhere you want to go. I can wake up wanting to do the right thing and somebody push that exact button about 30 minutes after I want to do the right thing and I don't want to do the right thing anymore. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. What is he talking about? He's talking about his redeemed inner being, the spiritual man that Jesus has purchased. He said, in that being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. He says, here it is. I've got the Spirit of Christ in me wanting to do right, because the Spirit of Christ always wants to do right. And what he's doing, he's regenerating my inner man, and my inner man wants to do right as well. But there is another principle, and the principle that he's speaking of is his sinful flesh. Can I teach you something today? Are y'all got your thinking caps on? The principle of his inner flesh versus the principle of his inner redeemed man. He said there's a war going on. And here's what he says about it. What a wretched man I am. Not look me up at www.apostlepaul.com and get your better life going today. He says, here's the conclusion I come to. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. And he asked the question, who will rescue me from this body of death? He's talking about his flesh. The thing you love so much. Are you listening? He says, who will rescue me from this body of death, my sinful nature? I love the ending or the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, I have no hope, no victory, no triumph over the sin of my flesh except for Jesus Christ. So as we look at this, what does this mean to us? How do we experience triumph over the sin of our flesh? Here's the thing. You, if you are in Christ here today, please pay attention. If you're in Christ, you know I'm born again, 100%. Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, has called me out of darkness and into light, and the Spirit has started the process of sanctification in me, already being justified through the cross. I know if you're not getting those words, you need to learn to get them. And I look forward to glorification, but here's the thing. If you're in Christ, you're born again. How many say, I can confidently say, I'm born again? If you can't confidently say it, you got an issue. But this is confidence. This is, I kind of sure. This is, I've been to church a few times. How many of you can confidently say, I am born again through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ? All right, pay attention to this. You already have positional victory over sin. You already have positional victory over sin. You are no longer in the position that you were once in as a sinner, unredeemed, on your way to judgment and hell. You're no longer that person. Thank you, Jesus, in heaven. So your victory over the sin of your flesh positionally has already been taken care of. Y'all give the Lord a hand. So, as Scripture says, I was once an enemy of God. Condemned already. Those are past tense in my life. Because positionally, I am victorious over the sin of my flesh because Jesus Christ nailed my sin to the cross. But not only, watch this, are you positionally victorious, you also have practical victory. Practical victory. What does that mean? How many of you know positional victory is justification? I told you, pay attention, you're going to learn something. Positional victory is justification. I'm justified before God no longer as a sinner, but as a saint and as a child because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about practical victory, which is a process called sanctification that begins when the Holy Spirit moves into your life at salvation. When the Holy Spirit moves into your life, this process is started so that you can experience practical victory over sin in your life daily. You say, well, preacher, you really mean that if I just cry out and ask Jesus for help when I'm tempted, He'll give me strength to walk away from it? Let me say this. No, I'll say, you better. You better. The moment that you're tempted, you know what I've had to learn to do in my life? And I've learned trial and error. I've blown it more than I've gotten it right. In my life, I have learned that immediately when that sinful thought, that temptation arises, I have to go to my knees. And I have to get honest with Jesus about where I am. Jesus, I am tempted in the area of fill in the blank. And I know what a wretched man that I am. Please deliver me from this body. Please, Jesus, through your Spirit, empower me, give me wisdom to walk away and to realize that the riches in Christ are far greater than the satisfaction of my flesh. It's learning to practically walk in the victory over sin. It's sanctification. And in that, I love it. I already shared a little with you last week. The Holy Spirit then overwhelms you and says, I'll take care of you, Kirk. I'll carry you through this. I'll empower you to say no. I'll empower you to walk away. Jesus already has given you victory, and I am the way you access that victory. Get up and walk away from it. But we don't usually practice that, and when we don't usually practice that, what happens is we give room for our flesh to win that battle. Practical victory over sin. Here's the good news. That's sanctification. The good news is not only do I have triumph over the sin of my flesh positionally, practically, one day, permanent. One day, permanently, I will have permanent victory over sin. That is glorification when I am made perfect in the presence of God. Oh, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can long to go home where I will be made perfect. Because I'll be the first one to tell each and every one of you. Y'all look at my eyes. You know how you do your kids? Look at my eyes. I'm imperfect. And if you put your eyes on me, I'm going to let you down. I promise you. Here's the thing. But He is always perfect. And I long for the day, that His perfection is made complete in Kirk Hall, where I'm glorified forever to be in His presence. So we've seen the worries of this life. We have triumph over the worries of this life, the sin of our flesh through Jesus Christ. And lastly, the penalty of sin. This is where it gets real uncomfortable. This is when you really start checking that watch. Is He almost done? Because I was kind of hoping we wouldn't go all the way here, preacher. But we have to. How many of you want complete victory in Christ? How many of you want to say, I want to overcome the things He died for me to overcome? Everything that that encompasses, I want to know about it. Well, let's don't dismiss now. Let's look at the last thing. The penalty of sin. How many of you know you have a payday coming? If you're not in Christ, let me tell you this. You will pay the penalty for your sin. If you are in Christ, we can shout a victory shout today. The penalty has already been paid. And watch this. Paid in full. You will not have a balance once you get there. Paid in full. And so as we look at this, understand, we have triumph over the penalty of sin. Victory. What is the penalty of sin? Number one, victory over death. How many of you know Romans says the wages of sin is death? Here's the thing. I will live forever. Why? Because my penalty's been paid. My penalty's been paid. You say, well, Kirk, that's not true. One day, you're going to be in a casket and we're going to come to your funeral. Let me help you out. I ain't going to be in that casket. Huh? I'm not going to be in that casket. All this bad stuff I've been telling you about, it's going to be in that casket. I'm going to be in the presence of God, and I'm going to live there with Him forever, whole and complete in Christ Jesus. Victory over death. Some of you here today, you're going to step off into eternity, and you're going to have to pay for your own sin. And the Bible says this is the second death. This is where you will pay the penalty for your sin. For all eternity, watch, I know old-fashioned, it's factual. You believe the Bible. You will pay for your sins for all eternity in the second death in the lake of fire. Where you will die, watch this, pay attention, die a brutal, horrible death over and over and over and over and over and over and over infinity times for all eternity. You say, well, Kirk, that sounds cruel, and I don't like this hellfire, brimstone preaching stuff. I was with you till you got here, brother. I almost had victory. You can have victory over that today, too. Here's the thing. Don't be like these liberals who say, man, when we get to that part, we turn it off. Has everything been true up until this point? Let me tell you what, the second death, according to the book of Revelation, is true, too. And all who are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will spend an eternity dying in hell. And I will not apologize for preaching the truth. You say, well, you seem mad about it. I'm not. I seem urgent about it. Because guess what? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I want you to know this. I don't want to have to give an account for not preaching the full counsel of the Word of God. If I'm going to preach about heaven, I dang sure better preach about hell. Are you listening? Because so many times we want to preach about the good things, but we don't want to talk about those things. But I've got family members. They're not born again. Reach them for Jesus. Go to their house this afternoon and plead with them that, look, here's what the Bible says, but they'll think I'm crazy. So what? They may think you're crazy and spend an eternity in heaven. They're going to think you're crazy and spend an eternity in hell if you don't go over there and love on them. Take the gospel and show them, listen, God loved you so much that He's willing to rescue you at any cost from judgment that comes because of sin, death. You have victory over death because of Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ, let me tell you this, you do not have victory over death. How about victory over judgment? Victory over judgment. Did you know this? Every sinner will be judged for their sin. Here's the good news, I'm not a sinner anymore. Oh, I'll stand at the Bema seat of Christ and I'll be judged for my works, whether they were profitable or they unprofitable, and I'll be rewarded accordingly. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But those of you who are unredeemed here today, let me tell you something. You will stand before God and you will be judged for every single act of disobedience that has ever come out of your life. And you will receive the due penalty for those acts for all eternity. You say, well, what is that? I really don't know. Here's the thing is, I don't have to know. Because I never will know. And here's the deal. I hope none of you ever will know either. But the facts are, everyone who is not in Christ will be judged for their sin. But in Christ, you can have victory over that judgment today. You can exchange your judgment for the judgment that He took upon the cross for you. It's called substitution. Did you know this? Jesus stood in my place at the cross. And every sin that I ever committed, He bore that sin on His back. Can you say that? Have you trusted Him with your sin? Have you trusted Him with victory over the judgment that you're sure to face? And then we see victory over death, victory over judgment, victory over hell. I'm going to say it again. There is a hell. Now, I'm going to really mess you up. It already exists. It's not some euphoric place like many people think. It is a place outside of Jerusalem where judgment is going to take place and the earth is going to open up. Did you know there's going to be a big earthquake? Oh yeah, I remember something about that. Yeah, the earth's going to split wide open. There will be made. God, you think God didn't know He was going to do what He's going to do? He's sovereign, folks. You think He didn't create the volcanoes that rained down fiery brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah knowing that that's what was going to happen? You think He hasn't prepared the world for His wrath? He has prepared the world for His wrath. I assure you, there is a place outside of Jerusalem called Gehenna where the earth will open up for all those who are not found in Christ to spend eternity separate from God in hell because of their sin. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Stop, preacher. You're scaring the children. If you don't want your children to hear the truth, plug their ears. Plug their ears. You do what everybody else is doing and act like, hey, we can live any way that we want to live. Because I've been to enough funerals to know this. A man can live any way that he wants to live, and at the end, we're all going to heaven. He can buy that lie, but I'm telling you this, it's a lie hatched straight out of hell. Everybody will not be in heaven. Unfortunately. There will be those of you who spend an eternity in hell because you did not have faith in Jesus Christ, the only Lord and Savior of mankind, the only way to overcome this world. I understand. I don't get book deals preaching this stuff. I don't get television shows. This won't sell, but it's truth. This won't sell, but I guarantee you, it's truth. One day, when the truth is revealed, because He's coming, you'll believe what I'm telling you. I pray that it's not too late. I pray that it's not too late. So as we look at this, I want you to understand something. An overcomer has triumphed over the penalty of sin. If you're here today and you're born again, let me tell you, you don't have to worry about hell. You know what's good about not worrying about hell? I can spend some time worrying about others who might be on their way there. You say, Kirk, do you really worry about, oh yeah. I come in contact with someone who's clueless about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how He can save them. Listen, I worry about that person because I know what eternity has for them. And so what happens is my worry then motivates me to do something. You know what Jesus said that He came to do? To seek and to save that which is lost. So what I have to do now is I have to apply that mission to my life. My duty is to seek out those who are on their way to hell that I might share the gospel message that they might be rescued by God through the cross of Jesus Christ from hell that awaits them. You say, well, that just doesn't sound very loving and caring. Some of you deer hunters are at your deer camp. You had your fire going. You were all sitting around it roasting marshmallows and your two-year-old toddler started walking toward it, going to go check it out. Would you not urgently grab them and pull them away from that fire? You might do it old school where you grab that arm, hit that rear at the same time. Don't go near that fire. Then why is it wrong in today's time that a preacher get in the pulpit of God and say, hell is coming for some of you? And it doesn't discriminate. But let me tell you this, not only is hell coming from some of you, there's hope and there's victory in the fact that Jesus has already come and died on a cross for some of you. And I want to extend that hope to you today. The hope of knowing that I can triumph over the things that are to come, death, judgment, and hell through Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, those are the penalties that a sinner is going to pay if they do not come to faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't make this up. This is no fairy tale. How many of you still believe this is the Word of God? If you believe it, do like this. I believe this. Or do your little electronic device. But I still believe this is the Word of God. And if we believe it's the Word of God, is it all the Word of God or just some of it the Word of God? Because if, let me tell you this, if just some of it is the Word of God, none of it's the Word of God, because God cannot lie. So I ask you this question, can we find hell in the Scripture? Can we find judgment in the Scriptures? Can we find death in the Scripture for all of the unbelievers? Let me tell you, you can find it over and over and over again. So we can't leave it out of our message. Jesus Christ, the one who allows us to triumph over the things of this world, the worries of this life, the sin of our flesh, and the penalty of that sin. I don't know where you are in all of this, but I pray this, if God calls you out of the darkness of your sin today to rescue you from the things that I just talked about, I pray that you would surrender to Jesus. He's the only hope you have. Maybe you're hearing you say, Kirk, I know that I'm born again. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I'm not walking in victory. I'm walking in my flesh a whole lot. Then I encourage you to do this. Get on your face before God and ask the Holy Spirit, your helper who lives in you, to help. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. Stop acting like it doesn't exist. If you want victory over it today, get honest about it. Jesus, here I am, and I'm being honest about it. And I need your help. The worries of this life. You're consumed by the trials and temptations and toils. And you need help. You're born again. Let me tell you this. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. Cry out to Him today. You stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today. And this message has hit home. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You say this message has hit home, Pastor. Because I'm here today. And I'm not 100% sure that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I am 100% sure that right now I hear His Spirit calling me to receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. I'm here to say that I feel and I hear Him in my heart calling me to walk in the victory that He died for me to have. And Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord today. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. That's all I want to do. I want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, I need Jesus to save me today. I need redemption through the cross of Jesus Christ. I need Jesus to save me. Anyone like that says, that's me. Raise it up where I can see. I want to be the overcomer that overcomes through faith in Christ. Hold it up high. That's me. I need Jesus to save me. You're here today and you say, Kirk, I'm born again. I know that. I'm not walking in victory in regard to the worries of this life. In fact, those worries are consuming me daily. Those trials, those temptations, those toils. I can't even enjoy fellowship with God because I'm so focused on all the things that Jesus died to give me victory over. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Say that to me. I'm so stressed out, I don't even know what I'm stressed out about. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that these who've raised their hand and been honest, Lord, I pray in just a moment they would get honest with your Holy Spirit. That you would give them the rest that they need. Lord, we know your word says to come unto you, all of us who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll give us rest. I pray that you give rest to the weary today. These who've been honest. Maybe you're here today and you say, Kurt, I'm struggling with my flesh. I'm struggling with my sin nature. I know I'm born again, and I know this. I know that I know in my inner being, just like Paul said, what's right. But I'm losing the war right now in my life with the battle between the spirit and the flesh that's going on. I'm not going to ask you what that is. The Holy Spirit already knows what that is. All I'm going to do is ask you to be honest so I can pray with you, pray for you. If you say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. Would you pray? Thank you for your honesty. That's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Because I want to walk in the victory that Jesus paid for me to have. No longer do I want to try to do this by myself. It's a means to an end. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these who've been honest, who are struggling. God, I just pray that you, through your Spirit, would encourage them, empower them to walk in the victory that they have positionally. Lord, to show them that they are no longer condemned because of sin, but they're victorious over sin. They're a child of God. Lord, that you would teach them that principle so that they would yearn to behave as a child of God. Lord, that would transition into their practical life where they would begin to apply your word through the leadership of your Spirit to walk in obedience to your command, to your statute. God, I pray that you cause in them to long for that permanent victory that you and you alone have brought us through the cross. That permanent victory over sin, we're made whole and no longer do we struggle with our flesh again. God, I pray as they get honest today that your Spirit would assure them of the forgiveness that you died for them to have. That you would lift their head and that you would encourage them to be the man, the woman, the child of God that you've called them to be. Holy Spirit, you're free to reign, you're free to move, you're free to change lives. Do what you do and let us humble ourselves before your throne. In Jesus' name. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. Our prayer partners are up front. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. If you need Jesus to save you, I encourage you, come grab me, grab someone, grab one of these prayer partners up front and say, I need Jesus to save me from my sin.
Lord, to Jesus, I surrender.